program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes. If you are a moron or a member of the PTL Club, please turn off your radio, because we don't need any more stupid, narrow-minded, pencil-neck geeks who wouldn't know the First Amendment if it came up and bit them on the butt. Thank you.
This is Zach from UTForums.com.
This is Fixman from GameAvens.com.
Hi, this is Lord of Doom from UTZen.
Hi, this is MungoZen from MungoZen.com.
Hi, this is Gleam from LWZ.
What's up, y'all? This is the Count from Wolfit.com.
Howdy, this is Talon from UTScripts.net.
Give me a radio check.
And you're listening to Oswald on Urban Radio.
Oswald, Urban Radio.
You're listening to Oswald.
Oswald on Urban Radio.
Oswald on Urban Radio.
You're listening to Oswald on Urban Radio.
Six days down, Urban Terror 4 is out, and servers are full. Have you been out there with any issues, problems, concerns, or are you just having one hell of a good time? Either way, we'll have more for you in just a minute.
Take what you want, take what you need, take all you can, take all you see, take all my friends and take me too.
Welcome to Urban Radio. I am Oswald. Thanks for tuning in today. I had a difficult time writing the show this week, deciding how I was actually going to present the information contained herein. I started, three different versions during the first half of the week, and you know what? None of them really presented what I was after. Then I thought about, well, how would the development team, how would they want to host a post-released radio show? You know, they would want to reflect on the release itself and, many of the positives that came with the new version of Urban Terror. You know, fair enough. Consider that done. But it would be unfair to the gamer and everybody in the community if the development team, if we did not summarize some of the current problems affecting some of the players in the community. Finally, and, I wonder why I am starting on this point. I don't know. Actually, I think I do know. It's because it always comes up post-release, and that is the continued complaining and bitching and whining from a small percentage of gamers in the community. And you know what? We knew this would happen, so this is where we're going to begin on Urban Radio, believe it or not. And just a little aside here, my son is just sleeping off camera over here. You can't see him, but if he wakes up, we may have to hit a break here real quick, so bear with me today, but hopefully things are going to go well on both the audio and video side. We do have Stick'em Video up, stick'em.com/profile. twitch.tv/urbanradio if you want to tune in and watch the show with me, Oswald. Or if you just want to head over to getinsidethegame.com or radioitg.com, you can just listen to it on Winamp or any other audio program that you stream with. So that is what is sort of on the agenda for the next few minutes. So where are we going to start? As I said, we'll talk about some of the issues here that we continue to have. And, you know, it never ceases to amaze that the vast majority of gamers are excited and filled with anticipation when it comes to any new release of Urban Terror or any other game they play for that matter. The development team does feel the excitement as well when files are released, and we begin to see the feedback. Now, was this a perfect release? No. Being perfect and problem-free is damn near impossible, especially when gamers have their niches of what they think and feel makes a good game. Urban Terror is that way. The community, I'm sure, given the chance and their say, they would have many different versions of the game running because, you know what? Many different gamers want many different features, many different ways. Again, we understand that. CVARs are a useful feature when it comes to the ability to lock, limit, or change something in-game. We know this. Coming from the Quake 3 Arena community, gamers had the ability to configure their game to fit their style of play. And you know what? We did like this to a degree. But CVARs are not the answer to every configuration issue that arises in Urban Terror. And we've made this fact known for many years. Urban Terror is not Quake 3 Arena. Sure, we share a similar gameplay style, unlike many other realism-based shooters that gamers want their speed, is what I'm trying to say. But we differ when it comes to how our game is to be played. We can go all the way back to 2000 when there was talk about using Urban Terror as a tourney game at QuakeCon. Unfortunately, our ideas of how we wanted Urban Terror did not jive with what the organizers were looking for. And one of the major sticking points, CVARs, and why we locked or limited them. And back then, we actually locked the vertex lighting, so you had to use light map, and that did nothing but piss a bunch of people off. Now, this might sound a little self-centered, but we control the development of the game, not the QA team and not the community. But with that said, we do need the QA team and the community if Urban Terror is going to be successful. But when it comes to the actual development and how things are managed from within, that is that's a community decision. Wrong. That's a team decision. So just wanted to put that little thing out there before I go on. We have had the final say as to what goes into Urban Terror and how it is to be finalized and released. But we also remind the community that many of the current features have been implemented because of you. As we've done in the past, we have been very open to the community and the QA team to provide their suggestions, feedback, and criticism in order to improve the game for the community. Now, the QA team helped us prior to the release. Now it's up to the community to provide feedback on what they don't like or actually what is problematic. And we are seeing a lot of problems out there. Well, I'm not going to say a lot of problems. We're seeing some problems that are true problems and other ones that are just personal issues. And anyway, I'll just stop with that comment because I don't want to get way off track here. But there are times when the what's best for the community discussion turns into a I don't like this feature because BS session. The forums only represent a very small percentage of the playing community. So those comments are few and far between, but these gamers are vocal and adamant that their way is the only way or the right way. Now, there are a few examples in the new release that are causing a commotion in the community after nearly a week. Hell, I don't even think it took but a few hours before some of these gamers were already making a decision after nothing more than, say, a round or two of gameplay. Two of the items topping the list are the locking of the R_fastguy CVAR. Now, this prior to the release allowed gamers to turn the skybox on and off in order to have a black skybox around the level. The reason was to improve visibility when a gamer was standing against the skybox. For example, in UT Riyadh, you know, you have somebody standing up on a hill and you're down low. I mean, obviously, you're going to be able to see a gamer standing up there very clear and be able to tell what team they're on and what color skin they're wearing. Some will also claim there's an increase in FPS. Well, the increase is minimal at best, so that argument holds very little value. The other CVAR that was removed was the ability to turn off and on the muzzle flash. While not really FPS related, the reasons vary from logical to completely absurd. All you need to do is read the ever-growing muzzle thread in the Urban Terror forums to get some idea. Now, some of the other issues are the skin colors, and no, this is not a racial thing, as AGB would lead you to believe, but he is right when he says, shoot Whitey. Now, that is if you're on the blue team. The red team has the ability to use a white skin when playing as a female. Some use it, others don't. Sort of like the fun stuff. While still others complain they cannot tell the white skin from the red skin apart from the blue skins during the intense battle sequences. Now, I have not spent all the time I would like to playing online, but I have spent a few hours this week jumping from server to server and getting feedback from gamers in North America and Europe. And, hey, I already found one server that I'll never return to in North America. So, I guess that's their loss, right? And I must apologize to the Brazilian community because, you know what, I didn't get down to playing a Brazilian server. And I'm sure the Europeans say, well, that's probably no big loss, isn't it? Anyway. You know, Portugal trying to ping Brazil does not work all that well. Netherlands trying to ping Brazil, it does not work all that well. So not once did the thought of, boy, I can't tell what skin is white or blue, that never crossed my mind. Of course, each gamer configures their graphics differently. So if your gamma is turned up and the skins, you know, they could look washed out. So the blue could look very light and I guess sort of look white. So going back to the muzzle flash feature, we're all different types of gamers. Some love all the bells and whistles when it comes to detail. Others want to transform our game into something that, well, that doesn't actually resemble our game as we intended. And you know what? I had meant to put a Blade Killer quote in here, and damn it, I'm going to have to go find that here. So I may have to stall for just a moment. I knew I had something to do. I didn't even look back over my notes here, and I should have. But her quote is very important. Well, I think it's very important, so hopefully many others do too as I quickly go to it before I even get to that thought because I know I'm going to get there. And let's see if I can find it here very quickly. If not, I guess we'll just deal with it and move on. But that's after the release. Damn. Well, I'll have to find it at break and read it to you, but it's a good quote and I will get it. So as I was saying, we're all different types of gamers. Some love all the bells and whistles, meaning having all the details turned up to max, and others want, you know, basically nothing to do with that, and they want to turn everything down so it does not look like Urban Terror. As Blade Killer said, we spend the time on creating the game, but gamers spend seconds turning all of our work into something unrecognizable, only to see the opposing player better. Is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. I won't deny the fact that prior to the new release, all gamers could toggle these two CVARs in question on and off. So basically, if you look at it, it's a level playing field, correct? So saying it was a design decision, that really does not sit well with all those in the community who would have you believe they want a better answer, or shall I say a real answer, as I was told during the week on the forums. So I refer back to the comment I made at the start of the show. It is our game. We control the design decisions, but that should not end the conversation there. It should end the conversation there, but it doesn't at times. Remember, if you don't want the muzzle flash, use the silencer. That is why it was included. Sure, it'll take up a gear slot, but you do have the in-game ability to remove the muzzle flash, or you can just turn off your weapon. Either way, the muzzle flash will be gone. Granted, you'll lose your weapon and a few other things, but you can turn the muzzle flash off. Finally, the major issue seems to be that of the fluctuating FPS when playing specific, or in some cases, all levels. Yeah, I know, you don't want to know about my experience, but I have had a pretty solid 100 to 125 FPS on all levels I have played, except for one. I know this really means jack to some of the gamers out there who are baffled at the sudden drop of FPS because, and I quote, it was not like this in 3.7. You know what? I don't even have to look that far. I can hear from my wife who sits like 10 feet away from me wanting to know what the hell we did. So, you know, I don't need it from both ends here, but don't tell her that, right? She needs to cook for me tonight. FPS issues are always tricky, and we can honestly say, and I would like to think that QA would back me on this, that there are no real major FPS issues being reported during testing like there are now a week after the release. The team and community have gone round in circles trying to pinpoint the possibilities to the extreme in some cases of the drop in FPS to levels nearing unplayable. Lemming from the Urban Terror forums provided a bit of useful insight using Turnpite as a primary example. Now, some just don't have the hardware to run Urban Terror. I don't count that. Their complaints as legitimate, well, they're not really that legitimate, even though some of them are upfront about it, too. There seems to be very little uniformity to the FPS issue. Some get it, others don't. It might be tied to video drivers or hardware, or as shown in that thread, it could be because of errors in the creation or the compiling of the data in the level. For that, I cite the images of Turnpike presented in the forums. One viewed in developer mode using the show tries displayed, as well as Turnpike from the new version with the same CVARs turned on. Now, if you're not a level designer, then you might not care about the inner workings of level design, but there is something called Viz and Hint brushes. And when Q3 Map 2 compiles a map, it cuts up into Viz portals. Now, these portals may be as big as a room or as small as only a few units big, depending on how you build your map. The Viz process is entirely dependent on these portals. Now, the compiler will look at each individual portal and attempt to draw a straight line from any point within that portal to any point with every other portal in the map. If a line can be drawn from portal A even to the furthest edge of portal B, then everything within portal B will be rendered by the engine while the player is anywhere within portal A. Are you confused yet? Yeah, see, this is why I didn't want to do this. It's way over your head if you're not a mapper here. Anyway, hint brushes, these things called hint brushes, they can be used to divide the default Viz portals into smaller, more efficient shapes in order to help reduce the amount of polygons the engine can render. So obviously the fewer polygons you render, you know, the better the FPS is going to be. And those that cannot actually be seen by the player, you know, they are not taken into consideration. In simple terms, hinting allows you to proportion the level not to be seen in-game. If a portion can't be seen, then it cannot be drawn in-game. Thus, as I said, giving you better FPS, which is what everybody wants, better FPS. Now, Turnpike never had an FPS issue in 3.7, and during testing, the FPS issue was not a major factor. Now, I think all of you agree with me on that point. If you look at the two images, you can see something that is wrong. Many more tries are being drawn in the new version when compared to the old. Now, this is a problem, as gamers will see a dramatic drop in FPS. Well, they should see a drop, depending on your hardware, and the config. Your results could vary. I even took a healthy 30 to 35% hit in FPS on areas of Turnpike. If that is the case, which it seems to be, you know, we are looking into the possible solutions before we rush a patch to the community, and you know, maybe that patch is not going to fix those problems. The same claim has been made for levels like Casa, which is somewhat baffling because Casa was not even touched with the exception of textures, and Uptown, which I could see it in Uptown more because it is more of an open level, but nothing has been substantiated at this point. Along with Turnpike, some internal updates have already been started in anticipation of the patch. Some long discussions of Hint Portal and Viz on Turnpike are currently going. There's been minor fixes for Rommel or Rommel that cause players to get stuck under the bridge and coming out of one of the water tunnels. Uptown has had a few hint brushes added to increase FPS, as well as a funk wall command added. Thing added for bomb mode for those who play bomb, and I'm sure I'm going to screw the name of this one. The Greek level that Rabbit Cow is working on, sounds French. Well, not complete. It does have a great start, and he's gotten some very good feedback from the QA team so far on that. So that's it for right now. We're going to go into our first break here. Thank you for joining us today on Urban Radio, the post-release show. More when we return.
I quit. You
listen, play this. Radio.
And welcome back. It is Oswald with you today here on Urban Radio, heard live on Inside the Game, www.getinsidethegame.com, and now seen live on Stick and Video. And you know what? I would have had the release. I even recorded the release show last week on Stick 'em, and damned if I didn't shut Stick 'em off before I had a chance to save the freaking video, because that was actually a pretty decent show. I listened to it this past week, but of course, I can't stand listening to my shows over because I think they're horrible. But thankfully, you guys don't. Everybody in the community has been very supportive for, like I said, about the last 7 years on Urban Radio. So for that, I do want to thank you. And I spent the last 2.5 minutes, or actually 4 minutes, 51 seconds, looking for that comment by Blade Killer. And if she were here, she could find it. But maybe one of the devs will find it for me. But it was in the QA form. It was something about the skins and that much. I do want to give a quick shout out to Pac, my buddy from Portugal. Anyways, on with the show. Release day. Always an exciting time, filled with hype and anticipation and expectation. And these words alone, they can be a lot to live up to. Sometimes the build up and release do not actually live up to the hype. And there are other times where the expectations are met or exceeded in the hype, while the hype was justified. Expectation is very, very much an individual characteristic that'll vary from each gamer. How we meet your expectations will vary as well. A good example during the development cycle was the improvement of the hit detection, Urban Terror, what we're calling version 4. It was our fourth major release. Now, one will argue that some of the 2.x development cycles were major, but when it comes to actual version changes, we have only experienced 4. Now, there are many positives to reflect on as we look back at the release, but we cannot turn a blind eye on what went wrong. Well, maybe not wrong, but what we could have improved on. And like the rest of the team, I pride myself in making sure we have a professional release, and to this day, I still don't think we've actually experienced a release that has been problem-free. Maybe release days aren't supposed to be like that. You know, maybe we did need the luck of the Irish. Maybe we should have released on St. Patrick's Day. I don't know. Maybe there would have been a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for all I know. Little green Irish dude, what do they call it? Leprechaun, that's right. All right, it's safe to say that the files were released, and this was not an evil April Fool's Day joke played by Frozen Sand. Now, we may be cruel and devious at times, but we would not tug at the community that up until this release was bound together by an aging Urban Terror 3.7. So I think it's safe to say the team could have used another week in order to prepare for last Sunday, as there were a few problems on our end which we had to contend with leading up to and including release day. We did have some issues with a few of the team members, as I term it, suddenly falling off the edge of the earth, and their levels were not ready and updated for the release. In the eyes of the community, it probably would have been more crucial if a level like Casa or Turnpike or Uptown were not included because they were incomplete. So this is not a slap in the face to those who did not get their levels included at this time, but it may be failure on the part of the team to have had all the files finished and ready to go when we hit our deadlines for inclusion into the release. And this has been an ongoing problem. And as I said, we're not pointing fingers at anybody on the team, because we end up doing this, it seems, time and time again. We'll set a date and, you know, it'll just creep going back until you're like a day from release, and it's like, well, shit, you know what? We don't have all the maps. We got to get this map if it wants to get in the game. So anyways, that's the sort of thing I'm talking about, but it's absolutely nobody's fault. You know, it's just one of those team things that, you know, we got to work on. The problems on our end were only magnified when we were, as I say, caught with our pants down, so to speak. We were actually building zip files prior to the start of the radio show and compiling ioUrbanTerror.exe later that day. So the preparation on our part, while challenging, did not really yield the sort of results we were looking for in terms of, as I said, professional. We could have used a few more days to get everything on a much higher plane, higher level of completion. That would, I'm sure, have made the release look much better. And then, oh my God, and then the FTP host, the websites and forums all got slammed. I'm sure many of you experienced this trying to go to urbanterror.net or trying to go to the forums. And I do want to give a quick shout out and a huge thanks to both Ghost and Midget Killer for all the help they provided us on release day. But they were hammered, to say the least. We had to pull the website off, and we had to just put up a simple HTML page because I guess a number of requests going into urbanterror.net on Ghostbox were just overwhelming, and it was something that it couldn't keep up with. Now, we should have been better prepared for this, but you know what? We weren't. I knew better, as did the team, but for some reason, in moments like this, when we're ready for a huge release, you forget what happens years ago, because this same thing happened with 2.0. We had so many requests for the website, it went down. So, you know, we ended up doing the same thing, taking a simple HTML page, slapping it up there with the FTPs and a quick, simple message. And, you know, that, as I said, that was our fault. We should have known that before we even released it, we were going to get hit and hit hard. So between Midget Killer and Ghost, we got the site running. We got a simple HTML page in place to handle the request for the mirrors in order to download Urban Terror from. And speaking of mirrors, I want to say thanks to all those FTPs who hosted the initial files and to those who ended up mirroring files once they were downloaded. Now, it's impossible to answer every request for FTP access to host the initial download from. It's even more challenging to get a small group on the same page, let alone that number times 10. So, you know what? It just gets more and more difficult to provide files early to anyone, especially server admins, to have. And one reason we didn't do it this time is because we don't like our files to be leaked during release day. It sort of takes some of that excitement and anticipation away from the team when we see hosts or admins who could not keep the release to themselves until the specified time. And the time thing is another story in itself. So with that, I did not give the files to any server admins who inquired prior to the official release. The only servers who had updated files were those used during QA testing. Now, is that fair? No, but you know what? That's how we dealt with it. And some of the numbers we have been getting from the FTPs and overall have just been pretty astounding. I've been very surprised. I started a small text file here. By my take, I'm estimating it looks like it's about 50,000 downloads this week. Some good numbers coming out of Europe, as with North America here. But these numbers really don't take into account, you know, people who have been getting it off of torrent and what else. But as best I can tell, we're in the 40 to 50,000 download range. So I think that has been seen not only with the number of downloads, but also the number of gamers out there playing, the number of servers, and I'm sure Ghost, and I know he sent me a link on this, the number of people who have actually signed up at the website, and the number of threads that you all now have to share in as we see things going forward here with Urban Terror. I don't think it's been this exciting for couple of years. I mean, that we have this much action going on right now. And, you know, I've still yet to find a decent site that has stats on it. I cite the gamespy.com/stats site, but honestly, I don't know how accurate that is. I know there's a couple of other stat sites out there, and right now it says we have 437 active players online on 136 different servers. So hopefully that's an indication, and that number continues to go up day by day. So hopefully we'll get into a couple thousand players and see what sort of thing we can do to keep it up. So a big thanks to all the gamers in the community for assisting in those numbers. And with all that said, the team has had a great week supporting the new release. Overall, we have seen a very, very positive feedback on the new version of Urban Terror, and this was the sort of reaction we were looking for from the release. Now, our reaction, the reaction we got from the release and from the actual release of giving you the files, two different things here, but we are very pleased with the feedback we're getting. Gamers are excited about how the weapons feel, that you actually hit what you aim at. Well, I think except for one guy who's not happy with the hit detection and just makes me, you know, ponder what he's aiming at. The overall game speed is still fast, if not faster, because sprinting has been increased, and many of the bugs from the previous version have been resolved, not to mention all the levels that are getting very good reviews. But with every new version, yes, there comes a round of new problems. Remember, development is cyclical, and this is a vicious cycle that has just been reset. And yes, Oswald is white. If you want black, go see AGBD. He'll be more than happy to take care of you and Blackie. Anyway, When we return, we'll get into some of the specifics about the game, the positives as well as the negatives from the community, and we'll also look at what is next. Hopefully something contained within Urban Radio today will help you. It's Oswald, and we will be right back.
This is Radio IDG.
Well, yet another wasted break trying to find that quote from Blade Killer, and I know it was in the QA forums, but damned if I can find it. So if and when I get to that part, I will sort of have to paraphrase what she said, but I know I copied and pasted it in one of the threads that we got going on skin and skin color. And no, I'm not talking racial here. I'm talking red, blue, and white. Or excuse me, red, blue, and white. Well, orange, white, and blue. Anyway. Welcome back to Urban Radio. Thanks for joining us today as we reflect back on the release of Urban Terror last Sunday. And to be honest with you, I didn't get a chance to play last Sunday. We actually had friends in town, and I was sort of trying to divide my time between them and the release. So I sort of felt bad knowing how much work the team did and how much support, along with everybody in the community and Ghost and Midget Killer, put in last Sunday to make this a very successful release. So, along with the many requests and comments and questions from the community, as well as those external factors I just talked about, I finally got a chance to sit down and configure the new version on Monday. And like some of you, I was met with a few problems. And see, you thought that Urban Terror did run perfect on my machine. That is not the case. As I said on Monday, as a forum whore, you know, there were some trends starting to form from the different threads we began to see emerge. Two of the initial problems I ran into, the black levels, you know, it's another racial thing. Black, white, black and white. See, this is why we play blue and orange. So whitey's gone. I'm sure that'll make AGBD happy, won't it? Okay, that's just a joke anyway. So getting back, the first problem I ran into, the black levels were only the skybox shows, and the memory allocation issue, better known as the hunk megs, you know, com_hunkmeg issue. And to be honest, I did download the ioUrbanTerror.exe, but I did not run it all week, and actually it's still on my computer, but I haven't got around to installing that as well. Actually, not installing it, but just dropping it dropping it on my into my Urban Terror directory and doing that. So hopefully later this week I'll actually be able to do that. So all of my gaming was spent using the Quake 3 mod files, which I installed using the installer. It's a very clean install, and I did not carry any configs over, as was mentioned. Then again, I don't have a super config or a set of configs that I load up that has complex binds and even more complex scripts. So I use a simple script or two here and there, but I configure all my keys from the game menu, where, you know, they made it so easy to do. The install, as I said, problem-free, but it would not be until I tried to drop into my first server that I didn't have enough memory allocated in my hunk meg. So, you know, this is an old issue, so I actually went in there and increased it to 512, seeing as I have 4 gigs of DDR2. I just dropped it at 512, reset it, and restarted, tried to connect to FSK. And this time I was kicked because Punkbuster wasn't enabled. Again, something else that I knew, you know, dumbass, enable Punkbuster. New version of the game, enable Punkbuster. Forgot to do that. So there's two issues now before getting into the game. So finally, after getting into the FSK server, I noted that the entire level, as I mentioned, Riyadh, was black except for the skybox. Weird, but, you know, I had read about it on the forums, and I did a slash vid restart, and, you know, the level reloaded, and I was in the game. So it basically took me 3 attempts to get into the game, something that I'm sure would discourage a new gamer to Urban Terror. I know it frustrated me just a little bit, and, you know, I'm one of the old-timers here who actually knew what to do, but it does take away from the fact it did require a little bit more work than needed to actually finally play. So once inside the game, you know, I was wary of the FPS issues since I had read about it on the forums and talked to the team about it and even seen more in IRC commenting on the FPS. Now, I don't have an old system. It was just built earlier this year. I run a dual two-core 2.66. As I said, 4 gigs of DDR2 and a 7950 GX2. So it's a strong machine. I can basically handle anything out there. So I, you know, set the COM max FPS to 125. And, you know, I didn't see that number waver. You know, that was not to say the FPS problem did not exist, because many were and they still are experiencing. But what is the answer? Well, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we are still compiling data and are looking into it. But we do have some ideas. I spoke about them just a few minutes ago. Now, I don't recall ever hearing or seeing comments about the rapid fluctuation of FPS during testing, even playing the new version. Some of the new levels, which are more graphic intense than the previous release, but not to the point where you're going to end up losing 30%, 40%, even 50% of your playable FPS. Some of you don't have 30% of your FPS to lose. Fortunately, you know, I can lose 30% of, you know, even an FPS at 100. And you know what? I'll deal with 70 FPS. That's fine for me. So we are aware that the FPS issue, and it seems to be one of the main concerns in the community at this point. The old Quake 3 system requirements are no longer valid. Many gamers understand this, and they have computers that meet or exceed the requirements that we posted in the manual. And, you know, I know we looked at those, but, you know, maybe we should look at them again. But even then, it's more on us than it is on your system requirements right now. The worst offender right now is Turnpike. It was brought up in the forums, and I commented on it before, but there is a rapid loss and a gain of FPS depending on where you are in the level. It was not but a few hours after the release. We were already looking into possible reasons why the FPS was fluctuating. Another issue that seems to be cyclical in nature is that of the development decisions as it relates to how the game looks and plays. Now, I know I harp on this, but the final decision when it comes to the game lies with who? That's right, the development team, not QA, not the community. And Cindy may have found the quote I'm looking for. Oh, he just asked. It's Cindy. It's the one about the skins. She makes some comment about why the skins and things in the maps were the way they were supposed to be. I'll look for it again at break. Anyways, you know, as I mentioned, we've been more than accommodating over the years updating the game based on community input and feedback. And many of the features in-game now and problems that were identified came from the community. We're very hands-on when it comes to being very close with our community. And sometimes, you know what, that's a bad thing. Sometimes it's a good thing. You know, we all enjoy the interaction that goes on. But there have been times where, you know, we as a development sat back, and this is years ago, and said, you know what, we're just way too close to the community. And at the time, it was a good thing because the community was small. I mean, you know, you knew people when you hopped on a server, unlike, you know, some of these other games that's got, you know, 15, 20,000 people playing it. And, you know, you may not see the same person, you know, 2 hours from now that you saw on a server 20 minutes ago. In Urban Terror, you can pretty much go to many of the servers and you'll notice a name or two on a server. But, you know, as I said, very hands-on. We like our community. We like the interaction we have with them. But it's a very thin line we walk. You know, we started locking more CVARs, and let me regress a few years. We had a similar issue with Apoxel when he was coding. CVARs were being limited and locked, and I think I talked about this. And at that time, we were trying to get the game into QuakeCon, but our design ideas did not jive with what they were asking for. And, you know, the community is always vocal, and that's not a bad thing. It's something of a good thing, you know, especially if there's a positive thing, we hear about it. If it's bad, we hear about it. Feedback of any kind, sort of like PR. PR of any kind is good PR. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some CVARs, some draw hand stuff. What else do we have here? Oh, more of that. We'll get you an update from Wakali. The asshats are at it again. I think we have some information from Midget Killer as well. So we got some more information to pass on to you. I need something else to drink, and it looks like Urban Radio may be pimped on the main page of Stick'em here coming up in about 12 minutes as well. I don't know if that's true or how that came about, but very cool if that's the case. So I'm going to step away here and take a break, and when we come back, we will get in some more Urban Radio. I want to thank you again for tuning in today. It's Oswald right here. Urban Radio, heard on Inside the Game and seen live on Stick'em Video. And sorry, but I cannot take credit for this song. Hey, welcome back to Urban Radio. It is Oswald with the mini Oz on my lap here. And like I said, hopefully I can get through the next half hour or so with him sitting here. But he's not a big fan of this. He'd rather be downstairs crawling around watching TV, if you know what I mean. But we'll see how far he can get before I actually have to take a break. And there goes his bank. Ghost, you know what I mean, bitch. So anyway, we are back. Glad you be with us. I did find, thank you, Cindy, I did find the quote from Blade Killer. Now I just got to remember where we left off. Oh, yeah, I remember where we left off. I was, a little bad. Actually, his alias online is going to be Zoom, Z-O-O-M. So he is known as Zoom. Just tell my wife that. Ask her how Zoom is doing. So anyway, yeah, Zoom. We were talking about CVARs, this and that. We stepped away for a break. But as mentioned, we have begun locking CVARs. For example, the RFast Sky. We did take the ability to turn the skybox off away from the gamer. Why? Well, I think Blade Killer does sum it up the best. She says, it takes a lot of work to make a good skybox, and I would like this locked so everyone has to suffer the same. Why not turn all the textures Why not turn off all the textures on the map, too? Why spend months making a map look great if gamers are just going to turn it into a horrid mess? I don't see the point of working on a game when people do that. The worst is when they turn around and they say that it looks like crap. So she's got a point. And I'm sure there are some gamers out there who will have a very well-thought-out logical retort to that. Regardless of what you think, toggling RFast Sky does not have the sort of FPS effect on your FPS as, say, something else, like the Vertex lighting, for example. So regardless... I'm losing my thought here. So this basically does not give any gamer an advantage now to toggle RFast Sky because it can't be done. And yes, I am aware that all gamers up until this release had the ability to toggle it on and off. But I refer back to Blade Killer's comments. It's a design decision. It's not one we're going to go back on at this point. So I'm sorry. There are some other CVARs that were locked for the same reason. We took the ability to toggle the muzzle flash off. We took the ability away to toggle the muzzle flash, and this has probably created more noise from the community than it should have. I won't say the community comments aren't justified. Some might well be thought out and have a point. He's going for the keyboard, guys. Watch out. He's going for the keyboard. Some of them, you know, may be well thought out and logical and have, you know, have a good point. But it comes down to what we want to do as a team. So, you know, our point is it's locked, and if you don't want the flash, and you know, you're going to have to do something else in order to lose the flash, such as I cited the draw hand zero, CG underscore draw hand zero. That'll turn your hands and weapon off. And you can also weigh the options of, yep, that's right, taking the silencer when you load out. Lastly, you could learn to play with it. Some gamers have, and... there are some gamers who are just completely blowing it out of proportion. I had one gamer tell me that it takes up his entire monitor goes off. Now, you know, that may be the case if you're playing on a 15-inch monitor, but I highly doubt some of you are playing games on 15-inch monitors. Yeah, you tell him, dude. Clap. Yay! Clap. Yay! Yeah, he's not going to clap. So, as I said, you know, let's sort of keep it in proportion here when we're talking about it, because I think that that comment was just a bit extreme. As big as my monitor, it's not that big. There are no plans in the future to unlock the CVAR, unlike some of the other possible changes that are on the table. After muzzle flash comes the white skins used by the female model on the red team. Yes, I know. Why is it the red team if there's a white skin? Well, that's just how we do it. Numerous threads have been active about the unfairness of this model as being, well, not visible in game, and some see the white female as unfair, claiming the game is a Twitch game and there is no time to react to a different color model in game. We went through months of testing different colors during development, so the decision was not a snap decision on our part. There was some time and thought put into the decisions of the colors. Now, Blade Killer, I would say she spent hours working on the models using different colors we could possibly use, but she has spent years trying to perfect the models, and you know, we tested orange, like on the male models. We checked out white, red, and pimp pink. I don't know if you've seen the pimp pink model. I may have to post that. But in every case, it seemed to be some sort of issue that would be brought to our attention. Gamers, as I have said, have their own opinion when it, he's playing the computer now. Dude, what are you doing? Gotta go back. Damn. Gotta go back, dude. Hang on. Took down my page here. I'll get it back up later. At some point, as I said, the gamers have their own opinion when it comes to how they want their game. And at some point, the team must make a decision and run with it in hopes that the community supports that decision. So you can see the little guy getting a little restless here. So give me another 2 minutes here. And let me go put him downstairs in front of a television for the rest of the show. And I'll come back and we will finish things up here for the post-release edition of Urban Radio, heard right here on Inside the Game and Stick'em Radio. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
am too paying attention. You know, I can knock it off on my equipment. Hey, anyway, welcome back. It is Oswald. We are on Urban Radio, heard right here on Inside the Game, www.getinsidethegame.com, and on Stick'em Video. Yes, the newest and best update here for Urban Radio. Very happy to have it, as it has provided a great look inside as to what Urban Radio is. And, you know, I got to pimp it here because we are on the main page of Stick'em.com right now, so I do want to thank the powers that be for that, and say hi to anybody who might not know what we're about. This is a radio show just for the Quake 3 game Urban Terror. You can go to our website, urbanterror.net. Check it all out. It is a free download. That's right, F-R-E-E. Hardly anything in life is free anymore. You know what Urban Terror is, and our motto, Urban Terror, where Quake meets reality. Now back to the show. So I was talking about models, talking about the Redskins, the Whiteskins, and, yes, the Blueskins. So for the red team, the female skin ended up being white. We had a couple other colors we were working with, as I said, orange, red, and the pimp pink, and we actually settled on the white. Outside of the muzzle flash and the fast guy, the skins have probably drawn the most attention since the release. So while we're not going to make any snap decision right now as to who is right or who is wrong when it comes to the skin issue, we would like gamers to provide more input on the skins. It's not as simple as you think, coming up with two opposite colors that will work well in all situations. And we're not a hardcore realism shooter, so the olives and tans and greens and blacks won't work for Urban Terror. We've been down that path. It failed. It failed miserably. And it makes seeing enemy players very challenging. Some like it this way, but we've had many, many complaints in the past about not being able to see the model. Maybe we can just blame the mappers for that, right? You know, mappers make a map that are, you know, dull or something so we can see white and red and blue. But anyways, as it stands right now, we are testing some of the alternative colors that Blade Killer did create. As I mentioned before, we are not going to make any sort of a rush to judgment and change the skins. Most likely give it 2 weeks, so there's not going to be a patch this upcoming week, so you can figure to play with the skins here for the next week. What else do we have? Oh, you know, while I'm on it and while I was talking to Gru Tamer, you may have missed it, may have seen it, but you can go to planetfreeware.org, but there was an interview provided by Gru Tamer over there, and he interviewed me regarding the release of Urban Terror 4. You may check that out. Some good information there, and some rather interesting questions that I know got the panties in the bunch of some of the community here when he was talking about the actual release of the game. As I'm typing in the link right now, but he was, you know, I can't spell planet. Plant Freeware. Hey, you guys give out Plant Freeware? No, I don't think so. Planetfreeware.org. Gru Tamer over there. But you can check it out. It's still, actually, it's right there, Urban Terror released. Urban Terror team, we talked with them. But you can check it out. It's still on the main page, lower right. But he was talking about the release. Oh, okay, so I take that back. He's telling me that Planet Freeware is being a little screwy right now. The file hasn't been found. But anyway, he was talking about the release, and there was a word he used in there. And it just sent some of the community flying when he was talking about how the release actually went. And, you know, I was fair in my interpretation, saying that it could have been better. And, you know, there are a few things that, you know, we didn't like about it that I wish we could have changed. But, you know, that's all in the past. We are moving forward with the next release, which will most likely be a patch for 4.1. So there's been no rest for the wicked, or so the saying goes, and the development team has been going nonstop since release day to support the game. You know, our work does not end with the release of the game, but continues to go on with support. Wakali has been busy providing a wealth of information and knowledge about the release, and you can also check out the FAQ he created. It's available on Urban Terror Net. Between myself writing some of the text up and Midget Killer, the Urban Terror manual should be online shortly. So the FAQ actually answers some of the most basic problems gamers are facing with Urban Terror. Hopefully it will help you. If not, hopefully it'll help someone by, you know, maybe the knowledge contained within, or you can actually point him or her in the right direction. But it's been great to see many gamers returning to the mod outside of a group of asshats on one server, which I say I won't connect to again. The community has been wonderful. The forums are alive with many new gamers coming to check out Urban Terror, and I know Ghost provided me with those details too. And you know what? I don't think I have those in front of me, but Oh, let's see. Looks like he said 184 users added one day, 16,000 page hits, 5,000 unique visits this month, 140,000 total visits at in 4 days, and that was as of a couple days ago. 100-plus connections to the main site, 75-plus on the forum at any one time. So those are really good numbers for UrbanTerror being such a small game right now. And, you know, we're pleased to have that sort of that sort of support, and glad to see the community coming alive. The number of active servers are on the rise, as I mentioned before. Depending on where you get your stats from, it is going to vary. I sort of frequent the GameSpy page with the stats, but again, I don't know how accurate that is. It's probably not all that accurate. I would assume there's probably over a couple hundred servers now, but I could be completely wrong. But, you know, still in excess of 400 or 500 players right now online. And this is the UrbanTerror many of the old school gamers remember during the 2.x days. This is UrbanTerror. The UrbanTerror manual, as I mentioned a moment ago, is coming late, but it is coming. And I'll take full responsibility for not having it done. No excuses. But, you know, I was able to get all the information written, and I was trying to get it presented on the website in a format that looked presentable, but you know what? I couldn't do it. And somebody's telling me we have 558 in ASE right now, so it's obvious that GameSpy doesn't catch everything. And you know, and I know what many of you think about GameSpy to begin with, but anyway, 228 servers, 558 online, so that's very cool. But anyway, MidgetKiller working his ass off to get the manual up on the website. Probably not going to be as complete as it was at one time, but the information I did, it sort of read like a tech manual, to be honest. It was completely rewritten in Word. Some of the material had been removed. Some of the material had been updated, much like the fact it was a work in progress. And once it is updated and online, it'll hopefully provide you a little bit better support. And remember, the Clan HSO will be hosting the UrbanTerror Wiki Manual. This is going to be the same information, but it's going to be provided in wiki form hosted at Clan HSO. And it will allow gamers to actually update and modify information on that. That's just one more thing we wanted to get in here, seeing as wikis are pretty hot right now and have been. So we'll get to the UrbanTerror manual wiki up shortly. It's just another project that is under development, but both pages will be linked on the UrbanTerror.net website. And we're also aware that gamers have been experiencing problems with the UrbanTerror master server, but from time to time it will be down. But it will always return. Website and forums continue, as I said, to get very good support. You might have experienced some outages on the forums from time to time, but due to all the requests on the site, Ghost had some SQL issues, so for the time being, we have moved the website and the forum over to a MidgetKiller server, I believe in Canada, from the East Coast. I don't believe we'll see any further issues, but stay tuned for that. And we're very thankful for the assistance, as I said, we've received from Ghost and MidgetKiller during the week. I don't think without them the release would have gone as smooth as it did, because we would have been up that brown creek without a wooden thing to paddle with. So they've been working what seems like nonstop in order to make sure the team has a website and forums during this time. And you know what? I think that is going to do it for this week. We look forward to many more Urban Radio shows as UrbanTerror is feeling somewhat of a rebirth during this release. We look forward to continuing development for the community. As I mentioned, we will not make any quick, rash decisions about how the game plays or looks like right now, but we are willing to sit back for a few weeks and let gamers get acclimated to this version. Usually takes a few weeks. If after that period gamers are still frustrated for whatever reasons, then we may go into something a little bit more substantial. Coming up next week, we will look at how further testing is going on the levels and problems that plague the new release. We'll see if there's any other new issues from the community that might be causing further problems. We'll even take a look at some league news. Also, we'll talk about IO UrbanTerror. All that and much more next week on Urban Radio. I do want to thank everybody for making the UrbanTerror release one of the most successful in our 7-year history. I think we were all wondering if we would ever taste the sort of success we had during the 2.x days, but we have. So thank you to everyone out there on servers playing UrbanTerror, running and adminning servers, supporting clans, playing in leagues, causing trouble on the forums, and most all, telling your friends about UrbanTerror. For Inside the Game and Frozen Sand, it's Oswald, and we'll see you on the respawn.
Oh, it's over? All right. Well, I'll be back next week with more kicking tunes for your booty butt.